We definitely want you to come. We're going to have a normal church service, and what we're going to talk about is the state of the church and what our vision for next year is. So we want absolutely everybody to make a point to come, and anybody who you believe wants to know about, you know, about the church, it'd be a great time to bring them and meet everybody. And, but we're going to talk about what the Lord's doing for the next, because it's the Jewish New Year, and my life and the church's pattern is also patterned after the Jewish calendar. And so we're going to talk about what our new year looks like and what 2015, which goes from October to October for us, is going to look like. And so that's going to be great. So we're going to do normal service. We're going to end it like a half hour early. We'll end at 6:30 so that by 7 we can be ready to have. And so we definitely want you guys to come so that you can be praying for what the Lord's going to do in the service. And if you can attend on Saturday for the Saturday morning session, that would be awesome. If you can come for the Friday night session, that would be awesome. We want to remind everybody we are intentionally bringing people who are not people who roll in the aisles and swing from the chandeliers. So we're wanting to just dial it back a little so that we can make everybody feel comfortable, because we want to understand. And then, John, you want to come on up? So who is still doing their 60-day challenge? Come on, raise your hands. 60-day challenge. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Because the reality is that this is where you're at. You're either in the groove, meaning you've consistently set aside time, and it's a habit, and it's a system, and it's starting to gain momentum, and you're having breakthrough, and it's finally starting to make sense. Or, like me, you're still struggling to get in that groove, and it's becoming harder and harder, and you're a little bit behind the power curve, okay? So, I want to encourage you guys to re-kickstart, pick up where you left off, keep going. Remember, I said it's so important, it doesn't matter if it takes you the whole year. We want to get through at least the first 60 days. So, John is one of those guys that has been actually very faithful. He's been, regardless of how hard it's been, he has stayed with the program. And I wanted him to share a little bit about what's been going on with him.
Well, thanks, Tim. I kind of feel like I'm sort of in between the two groups. I, you know, missed last night, but, anyway, yeah, I guess the first reason Tim asked me to come up to give testimony was, you know, about a month, you know, almost a month and a half ago. I sort of had an experience as I was praying, and he thinks it happens to other people and wanted me to share what it was. I guess it's something called a guardian lie. You know, when you're going through the healing prayer and you're sort of, you know, you ask, you know, God's wanting to work on you with something. And then, you know, you hear a lie, and then you hear the truth of the lie. And then as you're praying through the truth, you get another lie. So in my case, what that looked like was I was just getting, just the issue I was working on was just pain from the first girl I fell in love with all the way back in high school. You know, it was just a lot of, you know, feelings of, you know, I'll never be fulfilled. I'll never find a wife. I'll never, you know, that thing. And, you know, I was just sort of, God was pretty quick to deal with me about that. But as I was sort of praying through, and I didn't bring my notes, so I didn't write down exactly what I prayed, but I just got this, you know, strong impression, oh, that's not for this world. You know, and, you know, that was sort of the guardian lie. It was sort of, you know, covering the other, you know, the other lie. And, you know, I had to work through that too. So if that sort of thing happens to you too, it's, I guess, perfectly normal, and you know, just press through it just like any other lie that you get to with this. But anyway, I guess Tim asked me last night to sort of go into a little more detail about what's been happening. I mean, you know, I mean, frankly, just doing this, you know, 60-day prayer challenge on at least a decently consistent basis. I mean, I've had peace and storms for the first time in my life, you know, to a real solid level. I mean, you know, I've gone through some real stress at work. You know, a woman tried to get me fired last month, or at least heavily disciplined. You know, was getting yelled at. I mean, it's a really tough time of year for me work-wise. You know, people who actually recognize me know that I haven't been consistently here because I've been traveling for work. But just, I've had a measure of peace. I mean, it's a peace I have to walk in, a peace I have to cultivate, but, you know, there's been that, because, you know, at least in part because I've actually been plugging into God. And I mean, you know, I just realized walking in today that, you know, I mean, one thing we all have things we don't necessarily love about how we were made. And one for me was always that, you know, I tend to sort of get led along. I don't set the temperature in the room. I don't even really self-regulate my own temperature. So, I mean, you know, if there's a lot of anger in the room, I tend to get angry or whatever. And I sort of realized, you know, that there's kind of someone in me who is kind of assertive. You know, that if you just, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. I mean, God made me the way I'm supposed to be made. You know, and just sort of realizing that this is how, he built me to need him in me to help regulate my thermostat, not just that. So, I mean, it's just been a really profitable thing for me. I mean, it's been wonderful. It's been a just great, fantastic experience. I mean, I'm on day 45 still. Yeah, I'm thinking the last 15 days are probably going to take me the next month. It's not that I'm not going to do it every night, but, I've sort of been going back and forth, really trying to process days a lot of the time. And, it's great. I mean, starting to at least taste of, joy, peace, and other fruit of the spirit. Not that I didn't have anything before, it wasn't saved before that, but it was, it's just been going really well. So.
Yeah, it's definitely give him a hand. Okay, so. Without further ado, part two of our amazing Seer class. And this is going to really feed into next Saturday's service when we talk about where the church is going. And we have some people sharing some of the experiences that they have where every day they're out shopping or at a park or they do something and the Lord shows up and says, hey, pray with that person, talk with that person, witness that person. In other words, where people are starting to see Jesus in every moment of their life. So guys, come on up and it's all yours.
Do you have like a, one of those stands up there that I could
use? I do,
use?
Yeah. Okay. Big one?
Oh, this one's great. Oh, that's great right there.
That's not your note, somebody else's.
Yeah, I know. Can I read somebody else's notes?
Yeah, you can. I'm good with it.
That is true. Isaiah 4:2. So, Holy Spirit, we just welcome your presence. Our desire is to be led by you. So, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to show me the direction that you want to go. That's awesome. So, what did you all see when you came in today? Okay, let's start over. Okay. You look great. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. You know, when I say that, I really do mean two things by it. One is that, well, you all do look great because you have the face of the bride of Christ. But the other reason I say that is because it's a double entendre, and that is that you can look, you can see great. You have the ability to see what Jesus is doing in the room at any time. All you have to do is open up your eyes and look. God gave you eyes to see. We talked about this last week briefly, how when a baby is born, that baby is born with the ability to see because that is the natural way of things. When that doesn't happen, it's a real exception to the rule. So we, as being born again in Christ, have the ability to see because that baby is an example of the kind of life that we can live. So, but the question that arises then is, why do some people see so easily and others do not? And usually it's more about teaching or examples that we've had in the past. I may have said this last week, that you all are very fortunate that you have somebody leading that talks about visions, talks about dreams, talks about the angelic and trances and things like that. So to you, it's becoming a normal part of the Christian life that we can all live. And so that's what we want. But unfortunately, there are things that have been said that we have chosen to believe that keep us from seeing. things like you can't see, or that was for the past, or this person can, but he has to be a prophet in order to see, or he has to be a seer in order to see. And all of those things are not true. In fact, none of those are true. The bride of Christ has been given the ability to see because Jesus wants you to see him. Jesus wants you to be able to see his face. He wants you to be able to fall in love with him for other reasons than he gave you eternal life. He wants the bride to fall in love with him just because he is who he is and he loves you the way that he does. And that is really why I love this class, because it is more about intimacy with Jesus, more about intimacy with God than it really is about seeing. But seeing is an important thing that we can all do. So we're going to participate in the laying on of hands. If everyone would stand up, please. Don't worry, you won't have to go far. And I just want you to pray with me. Put your hands on your head. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus,
I break off
of me all false teaching.
And anything that I've believed
that keeps me from seeing your face. Okay, that's great. That's great. Please sit down. Unless you want to stand, that's okay too. There were some things I wanted just to do quickly to make sure that I covered them last week on the introduction of why do a seer's class and how it works. The reasons why were because the bride wants to see her groom, because we want to do what the Father is doing. And we talked about the scripture where Jesus said, I do whatever I see the Father doing. And that was an example for us to be able to see what the Father is doing and participate, see with our eyes. Because another reason was because we want to participate in the kingdom. And then the last one, which I did not mention, was because it's cool. You know, it's a cool thing, you know, to be able to see what's going on and know that nobody else sees that when you're at work or whatever, and then to be able to participate in it. And I think it's a great thing to be able to participate in the kingdom. And I'm going to, and the anchor scripture for that was John 5:19-20. And I love the last part of this, okay, because for the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is doing. Okay, well, here's a question that we can answer real quickly. Does the Father love you? Well, he gave the Son, so the answer is an obvious yes, he does. Okay, so the Father shows him all that he is doing because of the love that he has for him. So the Father is willing to show us everything that he is doing because of his love for us and because of our love for Jesus. And greater works than these will be shown him so that you may marvel. So we know that there is more yet to do. Okay, then we gave an assignment, and you all did the assignment, right?
Yes.
The answer is yes, we did. And you all get an A for doing the assignment. Okay, does anybody want to talk about what they saw? Well, besides that. Okay, well, we'll move on then. Okay.
I can share, but it might be cheating because it's me.
Go ahead.
Okay, so on Friday, Pastor Nikki and I were going to go down to David's tent, and then we were going to go out onto the mall and do treasure hunting. But what happened was, it was kind of cool. I got surprised. I was at this uniform store buying stuff for my kids. And so I was one of those things where the whole transaction is done. This lady walks up. She's had to embroider a sweater. She hands it to me. I get up and I begin to walk out. And I literally, it's one of those moments where I turn around. And as soon as I turn around, the Holy Spirit goes, poke. And like, literally like, talk to her. Bam. I'm like, okay. And it caused me to question, you know, like, she's walked away. I'm halfway out the store. I'm like, so I go, I break the threshold. I'm walking in between this restaurant and I'm doing one of these, oh, don't do this to him. Go back. You know the Holy Spirit. And then I go, no, come on. I've already left the store. And it's like, okay, do not pass this up. You've had this discussion before. And this is the debate I'm having with myself, right? Cause I'm in the middle of the mall. Finally, I go, All right, so I walk in. Now I got to track her down. Well, what happened was is when I walked in, my keys were sitting on the bench. So had I said no to God, I would have gotten all the way to my truck. I wouldn't have been able to find my keys, and I would have been dragged into the store regardless. So at that point, I realized, all right, this, you're serious. You really want me to. So then I go looking for her, and I'm walking up down the aisle, and I'm like, this is going to be really odd if she's, like, standing with five of her, like, cohorts, right? But sure enough, she's in an aisle all by herself, and I say, okay, Lord, we've done this before. And I say, hi, and this is going to sound like a really odd question, but are you a Christian? Do you go to church? She's like, yes, she's a Christian, but she doesn't go regularly locally. She has a home church in another state. She talks about what she's visiting. Anyway, and I say, I feel like the Lord has been, you've been praying for something, and the Lord says that, you know, when you ask him for a loaf of bread, he doesn't give you a stone. Seek and knock. Your patience and endurance is going to be rewarded. And so what I said is, the Lord tells me to tell you that promotion is coming your way. I don't know if that's in the physical or the spiritual realm, but it's coming, and that he really loves you. And what I didn't do is I didn't pray for her that time. But then she was just like, she's just staring at me like the deer, the headlight boy. And she's like, that really touched my heart. Thank you. And then she begins to tell me her life story of her church and stuff like that. So it's just one of those things where, and then I realized, like, so I had made an appointment, right, to go hear God, right, out in public to pray for people. But God had a different agenda, and he interrupted my daily life. So anyway, okay, and that was cool. Yes.
I forgot where the scripture is right now, but the disciples were walking along, and they said these words, while I was in the way, the Lord led me. While I was in the way, the Lord led me. You know, fellowship with him, seeking his, what he is doing, wanting to have your eyes open to how God is moving in a place in your work during the day. I love McDonald's. You know, you can just do a drive-through word of the Lord to them, and it's good. You know, they have to smile at you. They have to be happy. They can't say anything bad to you. And if they get mad, they can't get out of the booth, right? Anyway, week two. Foundational scriptures for seeing and hearing. The scripture there is a scripture about the Berean church who listened to Paul's teaching but searched out the scriptures daily to see if what he was saying was really from God. And of course, we encourage that. We want you to search the scriptures and see what he is doing. But I'm going to, in talking about visions and dreams and trances and the prophetic stuff like that, how many of you think that that is the most important thing to do in the church? Okay. How many think that, well, it's just kind of important? It's not important at all. Then the next question is, why are you in this class?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is how important it is. In Acts 10. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion by what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea. When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called some of his servants, and he sends his servants to go find Peter. Okay, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. Okay, so we've had an angel show up for Cornelius. We've had Peter with the trance. Okay, so he became hungry and he went up for the meal. Being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being lowered down to earth by four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, you know, I don't do that. The voice spoke to him a second time, "Do not call this impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, so now he's heard the voice of God. So far we've had an angel, we've had a trance, and we've had the voice of God. Okay. Peter went down and said to him, okay, so he gets called down. "Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I am the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion. Holy angel told him to ask you to come to his house." And so Peter leaves and goes with them. The next day, Peter starts out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting him and had called together his relatives, close friends, as Peter... You know, that's an interesting thing, just right there. If you were to let your friends and neighbors know that an angel showed up, how many of them would show up in your house the next day? Not a lot. I mean, they might show up to watch you get carted off, but that would really be about it. But he had such a reputation with the people that they believed him. That, or they were used to this kind of event taking place in their neighborhood. Possibilities. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up, stand up. He said, I am only a man myself. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile, but God has shown me through the trance. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago I was in the house praying at this hour, and in the afternoon an angel shows up." And so as this conversation is going on, the Holy Spirit falls on them in power. They begin to speak in tongues, and then there's a concern about baptism. But there's another concern that happens after that, and that is back at Jerusalem, that now the Holy Spirit has fallen on the Gentiles as well. And that's why visions, dreams, trances, angelic appearances, the voice of God are so important in the church, because that's what brought the Gentile nations into salvation. Okay, so how many here think that those things are important in the church? They are. They are, because those are the things that were guiding and providing legs to what the church was doing, because there had been, up until that time, there was no example of, what do we do now? There was no example of the Jews actively proselytizing, and yet they were being told to go and bring the good news to all men, in all nations, all in every place. And so in order to walk in those things, we must be seeing, hearing, letting the angelic show us what God is doing. Trances are okay according to the scriptures. And so that's the purpose for this class, is to, probably more important than anything else, is to break off the old thinking about how God moves. To break that off so that we are moving in power. When Peter, there was something just amazing that happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. When he brings you into relationship with God, when he starts to move in your life, you start living a life where Peter walking down the street and the lame and those that are hurt are laid in the street. Not so he'll lay hands. They're just looking for his shadow to fall on them. You know, I love this saying that John Wimber said, and that was, this is the menu. It's not the meal. Reading it, taking notes are not enough. This is the menu. The meal is out in the streets. And that's where our participation is to be. We are allowed to do things that the rest of the world is not able to do because they are not empowered by the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to see and know what Jesus is doing, and then the power to participate in that. Okay. That wasn't so bad, was it? That's pretty decent. Okay. Is it your turn yet? I think so. That or I'm going to talk about fire. You think I should talk about fire? Okay. How are we doing? Oh, we're doing good for time. Okay. I just want to tell you about something that's going on for me right now. Before we came the first time, we had dinner together and we talked about the fire that has been seen here. And when I walked in the room last week, and it also happened again this week, I saw fire all around the room. And then later on, as we were talking and ministering, I started to see Jesus walking in and out of the fire. I didn't see it fall on us, but I saw him walking in and out. So it tells me he's interested in that. And then on my way to work, just totally out of the blue, I'm just driving to work. I wasn't asking Jesus to show me anything. But, you know, the thing I really like about Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they totally interrupt you all the time. You know, if you'll just listen a little, they will totally interrupt you. And, you know, and we may even complain about it for the moment, but we go do it anyways because we know it'll be great when we do. And so we want to spend time with him. So we go ahead anyway. So I'm driving to work and I just happened to be looking up in the sky and I saw this, it looked like a ball of fire, but as I looked closer to it, it looked more like, you know how when they cut the straw around here, they either make bales or they make those big rounds or this tall in there. It looked like that, and it was spinning, and this fire was spinning, and it looked like that. And occasionally I would see lightning coming out of it, but it wasn't landing anywhere. But yet, in our conversation earlier today, I know that it's coming. I know that the fire is coming, not only here, even though this may be the place where it starts, but it's coming to Loudoun County. And so so I've started praying for Loudoun County because, and those of you that are called as prophets or seers, even though we can all see, if you know you're called into that office, you know, it's a good thing to be praying for your county, your state, your nation, other nations, whatever God is showing you to do to begin to become the father and the mother over so that you can release the presence of God in ways that the presence of God wants to be released because you see and you hear and so you want to respond like God does. And then he begins to tell you how to pray. And you begin to know more about the nations than the nations themselves or the area or the county. In this case where you know that the fire of God is coming, the question is how does he wants you to participate with bringing that to the county, to the area, to the nation. And you know that by how? By looking to see what the Father is doing. You look to see what he is doing, and that's how you know what you're supposed to be doing. I don't know. I'm trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just go wherever he's going right now. And so please.
So most of you have heard us talk about this, but I think this is maybe a great exercise. One of our worship leaders comes, and from the day one, we call it the vortex, right? And what it is from the day one, she saw a ring of fire sitting right up here. And every Saturday, it looks different. Sometimes it's square, sometimes it's tall and ranging, sometimes fire is coming out and hitting people. And that's the fire that Steve talks about that was actually encompassing the entire room. And so I would actually encourage you guys as a point of exercise to every Saturday that you come, ask the Lord to show you what's the vortex doing. Because it very much mimics what he's doing in the room that night. Whether he's healing people or it's a fire of repentance and that kind of thing and stuff like that. We've gotten a lot of prophetic words at this church about the coming revival and the role that we're going to play in it. You being here is not an accident. You learning how to see what Jesus is doing in the moment is not an accident. And so I just want to encourage you guys that That's exciting to see the fire of God hovering over the county. And I would encourage you all to pray. Keep praying that in. Pray that that thing lands. Pray that it lands here. Amen? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Pray that it gets bigger.
It is her turn. I want to confirm that.
You have more to say?
I don't know. I'm just so full of stuff right now. I don't know if I should save it to next week or talk about it now. Oh, why don't you come up?
Okay. Did you want to pass these out? They're in there, the first.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll do it.
Okay. Stephen's going to pass out a handout on foundational scriptures about why we can see.
Did she say I was going to pass out?
And he's making a joke over there. Sorry, I'm getting distracted. Why is it we're allowed to see? Because I don't think this topic really is broached much in the church, especially the church at large. But even in, you know, the charismatic circles, I don't think it's talked about much. And so I wanted to put together a few scriptures, and they're kind of clumped in idea groups, and we'll talk about them. But first I want to read a little bit out of Ephesians, because this is where we come from. In the first chapter of Ephesians, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before him." And then it goes on. The whole first part of Ephesians is huge, talking about what we've been given and what our inheritance is and how we've been given Holy Spirit as a pledge, like an engagement ring is the visual picture in the language. He's an engagement ring for that day when we get married. He's a pledge to us. And it's so important that we remember that the gift is Holy Spirit. The gift isn't necessarily a seer gift, but it's him. He's given himself as a gift. So, you know, it's one of those deals where if you go to a city and nobody knows the Lord, guess what? You might be a gifted seer, but you're an evangelist that day, because that's what the Lord needs in that city that day. And that's the gift is Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in me will empower me that day to be an evangelist, no matter how uncomfortable I might be. After the first person in that city gets saved, guess what? I become a pastor teacher, because those people need to be discipled. That might not be my gifting and the thing that I'm comfortable doing, but that's how he's going to use me, because that's what Holy Spirit inside of me is going to make me capable of doing. The whole thing goes on. You know, the purpose of being a prophetic voice is to bring, to build up and to comfort. It's to come alongside and to build up the things that the Lord is doing. And I believe that's why all of you are here, because that's the gifting that you're most comfortable in. And so the gift being Holy Spirit, the seer gift being something that we can all do, because we're all a new creation. We were born anew, and we were born anew able to see and hear him. So to start, I mentioned this last week. Both Paul and Moses said, "I wish that you were all prophets." And I don't think that's a wish. I think that's a prayer. I don't think both of them would have uttered those words if it wasn't a desire of the heart of God that his people would all be prophets, that they would listen to the Lord and speak the words that he tells them to say, or even just pray those things. You know, we are given words. We talked about the exercise last week about seeing Jesus and doing it out in the marketplace. Well, if the Lord doesn't prompt you to go to that woman in the mall like Tim, or if he doesn't prompt you to do that, but he shows you something, then just pray. Say, "Lord, I'm seeing this on this person, and I just bless that person so that they will get to know you better." And what you've done is you've created a landing strip for the next person who comes and prays. And it's part of tilling the soil. And then when the word of life comes to that person, boom, it's like a seed that explodes, and it comes to fruition at one time because you've been obedient to pray that one word. and someone else has been obedient to pray that other word. So I wish you were all prophets, they said. Eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And what is that? The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. All of us have a testimony. We have at least one, that he saved us and that he brought us through a new and living way so that we can approach his holy throne, and that we're accepted by our Father, and that we've been given the name of our Father, and that we can, we're called children of God, and we can call him our King and our Lord, our lover and our friend. So going on, blessed are your eyes that because they see and your ears because they hear. My sheep hear my voice and follow me, Jesus said. I do only what I see the Father's doing because the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. I pray for those who will believe that I have been given them the glory you gave me and they would see my glory. May they be in us as you are in me and I am in you. I am in them and you are in me. Jesus said, we're like him because he has enfolded us into his family. And when it comes to receiving prophetic words, we can trust in the Lord with all our hearts and not lean on our own understanding. We can be good Bereans and search the scriptures to see that it's true. And I like to point out in Acts chapter 2, there were mockers who said, they're just drunk. But the devout people asked, what does this mean? So anytime you're in a group and the word of the Lord comes to you, there might be people who will just say, oh, that's just Marianne saying her weird stuff again. But there'll be others that'll say, you know, I don't get this right now, but that means something. And when you have that mindset, the Lord will indeed speak to you. And if you ask him a question, he will give you an answer and he will tell you the meaning. And you can look in the, in this wonderful book, the scriptures, and he will show you what it is he's speaking to you. He can show you something very simple out in nature, or you can have a vision or a dream and you can ask him, Lord, what does that mean? I don't really understand what that means. And then he can tell you. You can ask him, is there a scripture that I should be reading? And if you listen, he might tell you one, because all scripture, all visions, all dreams, all angelic encounters, all spiritual experiences that we have are for one thing, and that's to have relationship with him. Because if it's not for that reason, it's destined for the dung heap, and it means nothing. So that is the point of being able to see and hear, because we know the lover of our souls, and we want to have relationship with him in the way that he deserves to have relationship with us. Oh, so let's see. I stopped with mockers said they're drunk, but the devout asked, what does this mean? And then last week we even did this. We exercised our senses because we're learning to discern between good and evil. Moving on, the eyes of the Lord are searching to and fro for those whose hearts are turned toward him. Don't you think that when our hearts are turned toward him, he sees us? So, of course, if we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And he says, I reward those who diligently seek me. And it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So then in James, it says, James said, you don't have because you do not ask. And the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets, he's a man just like us. That's what James tells us. Jesus said, when you ask me for bread, would I give you a stone? So if you ask him for a vision or a dream, is he going to give you something spooky, ooky, or demonic? Of course not. He's going to give you something that he can reveal himself to you with. Because that's how good our Father is. He knows how to give good gifts to his children. So ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. knocks and it will be opened. And then we pray, enlighten the eyes of my heart. So last week we mentioned about Elijah, how Elijah prayed. You know, the servant was freaking out because the armies were, you know, the enemy were coming up against him. And Elisha said, nah, you need to see what I see, because there are more that are for us than those who are against us. And so Elisha prayed, O Lord, I pray, open my servant's eyes so that he may see. And the Lord did it. He opened the servant's eyes and he saw. And so we can pray this apostolic prayer. God, I'm going to just pray this, and if you want to stand up, you can just receive it, or if you can sit there. I don't care how you do it. Whatever, however God moves on you. I just know that sometimes when I'm sitting and I've been listening, that, you know, my spirit kind of sits down too, so sometimes it's good to just stand up. And so we're just going to pray, God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he might grant us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of our hearts flooded with the light so that we can know and understand the hope to which he has called us, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that we will know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength. Amen. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for enlightening our eyes. Thank you for opening up our hearts. Thank you for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, that you blessed us with all spiritual blessings, that you have given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we thank you, God, that you call us your own. And we indeed say we are your sheep and we hear your voice. Amen. So I'm just asking him, where we should go with this. And I think that we should look now to see the fire in the room, because I really feel his lovely presence here, and I feel it like fire. And I'm just wondering, let's take just a couple minutes, because he's real and visions are real. I'm going to read another scripture. As you're looking to see what he's doing in the room, sometimes we discount visions because they are things that are sort of ethereal and akin to imagination. But in the letter to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so visions are the things that are not seen, but yet they're seen in the unseen realm by those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, and that's us. So when we say there's fire in the room, that's real. And so we want to honor Holy Spirit when he comes in fire and say, Holy Spirit, we love your presence. We love your appearing, and we love what you're doing in fire. Jesus said he would baptize us with your Holy Spirit and with fire. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're opening up the eyes of the people in the room to see what it is you're doing right here, right now, for this time, for this place, and for this people, for such a time as this.
I want to affirm something Mary Ann said. I was praying with my brother that he would go deeper into the prophetic, and he said, so often when I get something from God, I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden in my head a voice crosses it, or I have information I didn't have before, but it's roaming around in my head. And he goes, so is that me making it up, or is it God? And I said, no, it's God. That's the point. You're a human being, and in your natural faculty for you to say something or do something, all action is thought first. So it has to eventually come to your head. And what the Lord's been showing me is that your imagination is the bridge between the natural and the supernatural. And if the question isn't whether or not it's real, the question is whether or not is it from God. And if you're asking God and he's giving you something, then yes. And we can test it, and we can test the Spirit. But seeing something that is there but not there requires the imagination. God often gives me pictures in my head, moving pictures, still pictures, a sense of an image. And it's like you're imagining it, but I'm not conjuring it up. I'm clearing my mind. I'm asking God, Lord, what do you want me to know? And a picture appears. Well, that's God answering my prayer. So is it your imagination? Yes, it is. God's using the faculty of your imagination to communicate with you. And I told my brother, is anything that you see, sense, or feel, any capacity as a human being that you have to communicate, God will use that to communicate with you. Feelings, emotions, a pain in your thigh, a picture in your head, a voice in your head. Do we all wish that, you know, like the angel of the Lord would show up like to Joseph and the room would black out and it would be like it's real as that? Yes. But like with Elijah's servant, you could only see those angels by God pulling back the veil, and through the eyes of his imagination, seeing the invisible creature standing along the mountain ridge. Could he have talked himself out of that? Could he have said, oh, I'm making that up. That's a picture in my head. Sure, he could. Just as you can, if you want to talk yourself out of it. Or you can learn how God likes to talk to you, and by reason of use, exercise those senses, including your imagination, to hear and communicate with him. Does that make sense? Right. I just want to affirm it. Because that's the number one question I get for people, even when I'm dealing with people prophetically about getting words from God, and they say, okay, I just had this sentence come in my head. That's God. How do you know? Did you ask God for a word? Yes. Did a sentence appear? Yes. Was it information you knew before? Yes. That's God. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, anyway. Okay.
Can we borrow your mic?
Well, when we talk about the fire of the Holy Spirit, you know, and the fire being in the room and maybe in a central location, what the Lord was showing me is the fire that's in our hearts and within us. Because just like the disciples that were in the upper room waiting upon the Lord, when the Holy Spirit came, he came in a mighty rushing wind and in fire. And everybody that received the Holy Spirit, there was a tongue of fire, or a fire that looked like tongues upon them. And the Lord was saying to me, I'm an all-consuming fire. And so what I was seeing in the vision of being asked to look for the fire is our hearts with a flame of fire coming out of it. And so it's not just an external fire that is being ignited. It's also the flame within our own hearts that, you know, you don't take a light or a candle and put something over it that the fire goes out, but the Holy Spirit ignites that fire so that the candle burns brightly, and you can see it illuminating off of people. You can see it illuminating in their hearts and or in their faces. And, you know, Moses, when he saw the glory of the Lord, had, you know, the Israel needed them to veil his face because it was too all-consuming for them. You know, it pointed things out. But God's flame is related to his passion, to his love for us, but also to what he wants to do us, in us and through us, to ignite the hearts of others. Because when I impart something to someone, that flame is imparted into their heart.
That's good. Did anyone else see something they would like to share?
Hi. Well, it's kind of funny because you had talked about your imagination, and I was battling that, like thinking, okay, I don't want just my imagination, you know, to imagine something. I really want it from the Lord. But I did. I was asking the Lord, what is the fire? And the verse that came to me is that He is the refiner's fire, and just refining is like purifying, and just as gold, pure gold, you know, it's just like burning off everything that's imperfect about it, and how as we come to Jesus, as we come to the Holy Spirit, He wants to just purify us and burn off all that is unholy and unclean, and you know, it could be a painful process, but it's a good process. And as I had that vision, I had a memory of a Bible study where someone shared about a story of a refiner, and they were asked, how do you know how long to keep the object in the fire? And he said, when I can see my reflection in it, I will pull it out of the fire. And that's like our Heavenly Father, when we become like Him, right?
That's good. Did you want to share? There you go. Oh, I'm in the way here.
I saw the fire burning tall but leaning towards us. And as it burned deeper into our foundations. And the deeper it burned, the more hotter and pure and intense it got.
So was it all around the room, or was it in
it was throughout.
It was throughout, it weaving in and out of the chairs? Or
no, it was stationary, just burning deeper and deeper.
That's cool. There's not wrong answers here. Then this is a safe place to practice. Anybody else want to try? Want to say? Good. Don't be shy. And it's a little embarrassing in a microphone, but.
I saw the fire. Can you hear me? Around the room.
Yeah.
And it was white in the middle and yellow at the top and the bottom. Ooh. But I saw a torch going around with it, and there was a hand. I think you had your hands up, and the torch was being handed to you. So that's what I saw.
Oh, that's good. So thank you, Lord, for the fire that's burning here. There's a refiner's fire. There's an empowering fire. There's a fire that's going deep into the foundations of this room right here, which means all of you, that his fiery passionate love, His refining fire, His cleansing fire, it's all Him, and he's hovering over us. So when I said I sense the fire, I kind of a intuitive person, so I don't know why I just sensed it. I can't explain that. But it's kind of a knowing, and that's like seeing. But then when I asked Him to see, I saw little flames of fire on everyone's head as though we were candles. It wasn't blazing, but it's there. And you know, He's so kind, He says a smoldering wick He will never snuff out. And so we all have this fire that He's given us, and it's you know, for Him, it's a reflection of Him, because He is, He says, I am a consuming fire. So it's part of a reflection of Him when we're on fire. Another, since Tim brought this up, another way that I see is I don't see like Tim and Stephen and Pam. They tend to see more motion pictures. Sometimes they see outside, they see with these eyes, but I see with my inside eyes, and I see when I first started recognizing that I could see, I would see in shadows, and it was almost like, you know, that game you play where you put the light bulb and you do the hand things and you'd see the hand puppet shadows and you'd say, oh, that looks like a duck. Well, I would see like a shadow. And so what that did was it drove me to the Lord. I said, Lord, I know You're showing me something. What is that? And then He would speak to me. Well, I knew, because what Paul said, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially He would prophesy, that I could grow in that gift. And so now if I'm seeing something, I usually see something really fast, like a flashbulb. Boom. It's there and it's not there. But I see it a little more clearly than just a shadow. I still ask the Lord, what is that and what does it mean? Because that's the example we have in Jeremiah chapter 1. Remember, the Lord showed Jeremiah something. Jeremiah said, I see an almond branch. And then the Lord said, you've seen rightly, and then gave him the interpretation. So that's how we can proceed as we see in the Lord. Now, I have had open-eyed vision, but that's, I think, for another day. And the other thing the Lord does with me is he draws my attention to something, and it might be something in the natural, and that's for another day too, but because there's little time and I don't want to step on the worship time. But anyway, I just want you to know that you can ask the Lord what something means, and he'll speak to you because he loves to talk to us. You had something you wanted to share?
No, I just have a question.
Yeah.
I think what I hear from everybody is such an advanced portion of their abilities, and what you described is very much where I'm at. It's the shadows, and I am very much a passive participant. I either see it, and it's so fleeting, I'm like, oh, okay, and I forget to have the conversation. I totally forget to keep that conversation in my dreams or in my visions, and I'm a very shadowy person. And what you, I finally made the connection, but I cannot learn the tool to be a participant instead of a passive person.
But you can, because now you know what I'm saying? Because now you can ask the Lord, help me remember to ask you the questions. Because, you know, he's always wanting to talk to you. And so he's always showing you things so that you can, even if all it is just to, so that you can practice hearing his voice. I know he loves that. And I was going to say, I told some people last week at the end that when you see a vision, it's like that place when you have a dream and you, let me stand back a little. When you have a dream and then you go to tell it to somebody, and so all of a sudden you start telling the dream, then you're seeing it again in your head, right? That's the place where visions live. That's the place, because that's a vision of the night. And so when you're telling that person, you know, I dreamed about this, and there was this bird's nest, and there was these four eggs, and the Lord told me to read Ezra and Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4. That you're seeing the bird's nest with the four eggs, and you're telling the person, you know, what your conversation with the Lord was. But anyway, that's the place where you can see. It's the same thing with smelling. There's you know, all of your senses are, there's a new creation. So a new baby is born knowing how to smell. In fact, the first smell that he or she begins to recognize is the smell of his own mother. And that's why all hospitals across the U.S., the first thing they do with that baby is, if the baby's well enough, they put the baby on the mother's chest, because they know that it enhances the bonding process between the mother and the baby. Smell, sense of smell. So the Lord can speak to you in a sense of smell. And you might think, you know, this is just my imagination. But the Lord might be telling you something about somebody. And so I've had a friend come to me and say, I smell cinnamon on you. And cinnamon is the presence of the Lord and like an incense. And I've had experience where, I had experience where I work in the hospital at Fair Oaks Hospital. I'm a neonatal intensive care nurse, so they only call me to the deliveries where the baby's in trouble. This baby's born. The baby is given to me right away because the baby's in trouble. I smelled the worst stench in the world. Now, how did I smell that? Because I was in the operating room with the mask and the hat and all this stuff. I shouldn't be able to smell anything. I said to the doctor, I think the baby has an infection. It smells terrible. And the doctor says, what are you talking about? I don't smell anything. Later, I saw I prayed for the baby because I didn't know what that was. I knew it was something from the Lord. Later, you know, I couldn't see the parents because they're all, you know, in the hospital garb and everything. They're a bunch of pagans, and I'm almost willing to bet you the baby was dedicated to Satan. So I was the first person who got to handle that baby and bless that baby into the kingdom of God. Now, I tell you, he shows you things so that you can act, and all I did was pray silently, but that created a landing strip for that baby to come to the kingdom of God. So follow your instincts. Don't let that little fleeting thought just go away. Ask the questions and pray the prayers. Amen. Thank you. Sorry. Oh, I owe Eric 2 minutes. Sorry.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. Relax. Steve, come on up here. So this weather's setting up. Questions? Any other questions? I love what you shared. I love what you shared because you describe where you're at is describing where she came from, and that's we all start somewhere like that. Do you know what I'm saying? We all start somewhere where like, I think I see something, but I'm not sure. And that's okay, because that's why the scripture says you have to exercise that sense. You have to work at it. And one of the things I tell people, particularly about dreams and visions, you do not know what it means. You don't. So don't go online, go to the dream dictionary to find out that alligators always mean gossip. Okay? Ask the Holy Spirit. Right. He's the one giving you the information.
That's right.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But you're not going to do that anymore.
So no more.
I know you're not.
Yes. You just turn. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean?
God said
to Jeremiah, what do you see? Well, okay. He is really familiar with almond branches. I'm sure it was really obvious. Do you know what I'm saying? I see a particular type of almond branch, actually. And the Lord says, you have seen rightly. And then he begins to explain to him what it means. Okay? And so I tell people, even whenever the Lord says, you know, hey, that person over there, and he gives you, you know, a word, right? Okay. But what does that mean, Lord? Like, why are you... The whole of the communication that you get from God is just the beginning of the conversation. It's just the beginning. The dream is not the end. The dream is the beginning. It's, Lord, where are you taking me on this journey? Do you know what I'm saying? This is about your love relationship with him. The good news is Mary Ann gets totally blessed out of it, right? Because she gets prayed for or peace or an answer or something like that. But don't you get blessed too because you get to be used? Yeah. So it's just the beginning.
It's awesome.
Questions?
Really?
Wow.
You guys are that good. Oh. Okay, go ahead.
It's not really a question. I had a dream and I woke up one morning. It's the first time this had ever happened to me. I went to the kitchen. I started making a pot of coffee and I heard the Lord speak very clearly. He said, write down your dream. So I had been looking in the Bible, and I had my pencil and paper there, and I wrote down my dream. I went to pour the coffee, and before I could get back, he said, interpret your dream. And I wrote down the interpretation, and it made everything in the dream very clear. And it was all about my future.
Oh, that's great.
That's great.
There's just something that happens in the writing that, I don't know, just implants it in you even that much further. And then you begin to see things that you hadn't noticed before. And that's why writing is so great after you have a dream. Because then and it's something that happens in that writing where you begin to ask them, well, what does that mean? And getting more clarification on other things. And then it just takes you deeper and going back into it at another time and revisiting that vision or that dream. Yeah, it's all good.
I find it's true with prophetic words too. When I prophesy over somebody and I'll record it and they'll say, can you type that up for me? But every time I do, I type it up. You know, what started out as 3 paragraphs in 2 minutes becomes like 17 pages. It just grows, right? And it's just like, and I know it's going to happen. So I just, when somebody asks me if I type something up, I know what's going to happen. So I got to, Lord, am I supposed to, and if he wants me to type it up, I know why. Because he's going to, like, he wants to build on it. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Me too.
How do you get to a place where you are confident in what it is that you've seen or heard? Because I don't think it's that for me, it's not that I don't see or hear, but it's just the confidence then that what you've seen and heard is definitely from the Lord, and to then go and either tell someone. What I usually do now is I'm not to the place where I actually go tell somebody, I'll write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
good.
I'll just sit there and I'll have a whole bunch of stuff written down because I haven't reached a place where I'm where I'm sure that it's like, okay, yeah, this is definitely a word from the Lord, and you need to go tell this person.
Yeah. My pastor used to say, faith is spelled R-I-S-K. And that really is, it's a scary place to be. But I just challenge you to, if you have enough of things written down, even if you just say, I think this is from the Lord for you, and then hit and run, you know, give them the post-it as they're going out the door or something, you might be surprised. In fact, I know you'll be surprised, because he is faithful. When we ask him for things, he's faithful to give them to us.
Yeah. The more you participate in what you're seeing and what you're hearing, the more confidence you'll get, because you'll begin to see how people are responding to what God is saying through you. But you have to start at some point. You have to start and move forward and take that step out there.
Okay. Well, when we started doing our seer class, remember, I don't know if you were here last time, but I got the seer class exercise, and so I invited a few of my trusted friends who I knew wouldn't laugh if I saw some goofy thing, and I invited them over, and then we practiced seeing together, and we all grew so much. That's one of the reasons why we, you know, started taking this out to bigger places, because we realized just how much you could grow in a short period of time. So if you have some trusted friends you could practice with, that's a good place too. Yeah.
But the reality is that and this is important for prophetic words, dreams. The only way that you know it's God is in hindsight. It's the fruit. That's the only way you know. So the only way I know that I heard from God by praying with that woman is because of the response that I got and the emotion that I felt and the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through me. So Nikki and I, we went to the mall, and the Lord showed me a particular place in the mall we're supposed to stand, and then we were going to meet this woman, and there were some criteria, and we were going to pray for her, right? And so the first woman that we prayed for, I grabbed her hand, and as I began to pray, I began to feel the Holy Spirit flow through me and into her arm. And one of the things, and then we walked around the mall, the Washington Monument, looking, and we prayed for a couple of people that met the criteria. But when we got done, Nikki's like, I think the first person that we prayed for was the one we were supposed to meet. And I'm like, I agree with you. Because after we prayed for three or four people, all that met the criteria, she had the biggest spiritual impact. I mean, like, she was crying whenever we were done praying with her. Does that make sense? But it's only in, I heard God, I saw something, I said, what does that mean? And I went and I prayed for that person, and I get to eat the fruit of it afterwards. I see them blessed or touched or whatever. Then I walk away going, that was God. But the only way you're going to know, it's like if I think I get a word for you and I go, okay, the Lord tells me blah, 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 blah. And you say, yes, that's a complete confidence. That's the only way I'm going to know that I heard from God, is to close the communication loop. And so, as Steve said, you're going to have to step across that line. And I'll tell you up front, you could be 100% right, and they could tell you you're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? You can miss it and actually be wrong. Okay? That can happen. All right. But you don't get good unless you
practice. So we're going to do the exercise again for homework.
Amen. Yes.
And so I have more copies if you want to Seeing Jesus exercise.
Can I add something to what you just said? What happens if you're totally wrong? What happens if you are just, you know, it was definitely last night's pizza. You are just totally wrong. Do you know what God does? He picks you up off the floor and says, go for it again, daughter. Go for it again. You'll make it next time. Go for it again. Because he's on your side. He's on your side. So you got nothing to lose. You got nothing to lose.
Thank
Hi,
you.
Eric.
Sorry. Sorry, Mr. Eric.
Worship, and we will do as-seer exercise in the context of worship. Let's bring the anointing in. Amen.
You can come up. Can we get another mic turned on here? Let's try that one right there.